We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. You know, our opening hymn has the phrase, I came to Jesus, and I saw, and then, and I drank, and it moves on. It develops throughout the hymn. And that hymn, of course, is based upon the woman at the well. But you know what? It could have turned out much differently. Notice that she's coming at noon, and of course, coming at noon means she wants to be alone. It was tradition that women would work together in the morning, in the coolness of the morning, to get the water for the day, and they would help each other to put those jars on top of their heads so that they could then walk back. It's the easiest place, of course, to carry a heavy load, and of course, women have a better sense of balance, so it was very easy for them to bring that all the way home. She did not want to deal, of course, with the other women because of her background, and probably they had excluded her or were mocking her or whatever it might be. Here she is coming to Jacob's well, and she sees a man there, and the cultural dress was just different enough. She would have realized that he is an Orthodox Jew. Samaritans were heterodox or heretical Jews, worshiping in a different place, Mount Hebron, I believe. And instead of like saying, I'll just come back later, I don't want to interact with everyone. Again, this whole gospel would have been ruined if she would have seen Jesus, realized he's different, I'm out of here. But she didn't. She came. And then the next time it could have been different, Jesus says, give me a drink. And again, it might have been putting off like, get your own, anything like that. To, this is more, her response though is a little bit more religious, and that is, why are you asking me? Because you typically won't touch, for the sake of ritual impurity is why she does this, that they won't touch the same drinkware and plateware. She's kind of amazed, and she's like, well, I, you know, we really shouldn't be exchanging, you know, cupware, etc. Again, could have ended right there. And then we have the misunderstanding of the water, right? Jesus is using a spiritual meaning, and she's like, yeah, that'll save me a bunch of work. Yeah, give me this life, this life-giving water that will mean I'm no longer thirsty. Ken, she could have just right after that said, now wait a minute, you're fooling me now. And she could have been gone, but she wasn't. And then the piece de resistance. She is told to get her husband. She doesn't lie. And then she's told more. Again, it could have ended with a lie, right? It could have ended with her saying, no, I don't want to deal with you. You're triggering me, you know, with her five husbands. And I don't mean that in a facetious way, because in the Semitic tradition, it's the man who gives the bill of divorce. So they could have been one terrible relationship after another. It's not like, it doesn't necessarily have to be that she is the evil one here. And yet, then something more is identified, that she is currently fornicating because she's with a man who she's not married to. And again, at that point, she could have just said, forget this. She could have gone back into town and not come back. But she comes back with the entire village. My brothers and sisters, I'd like to mention that here we have what I think is the ultimate example of courage next to Jesus and Mary. We often associate courage with, yes, I'm willing to lay down my life for my friends, and yes, that's a beautiful thing. Jesus does that for us. But what we're witnessing today with the woman at the well is we are witnessing courage to convert, the courage to meet Christ and let Christ help us to become better. That, my friends, is more important than the courage that gets headlines, the courage that is passed down in family lore. This is the courage that leads to eternal life. And this is the kind of courage, true courage, that brings others into the faith. Now we believe, not just because of what you said, your word, because we have seen that he is the Savior of the world. This is amazing. You have an opportunity to look at the front of the bulletin. That is an image of a painting of this particular scene. It's actually one of my ultimate favorite New Testament scenes. And even though the resolution doesn't do it justice, you can look this up on the internet. The painter is able to show how this woman is shocked and yet drawn at the same time. Her body language is leaning in just a tad. And if you look carefully in the original image, you can see a little glint of her eyes becoming misty. My brothers and sisters, many times you and I make excuses for not allowing Christ to encounter us. We don't feel like praying. We don't have time to drop in the Adoration Chapel. We're very busy and have many concerns. We just don't want to talk to somebody else. We feel very guilty. We don't understand what Christ is talking about sometimes. Again, a whole litany of excuses for why we could just stop the encounter. But the woman at the well at no time stopped the encounter. She had the courage to let Christ continue to do his work of deeper conversion in her heart, in her life. So, my brothers and sisters, the message is very simple. Allow your encounter with Christ to not be interrupted, to not be interrupted by fear, to not be interrupted by something that's going on in your life, because Christ is going to help you to deal with whatever is going on. To not let it be interrupted again by shame or guilt, true as it might be, but instead to let Christ help you and me to be transformed because of his enlightenment, his truth, directing us in a way we wouldn't have predicted, his mercy, his grace, and the strength to go and sin no more.